Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Can Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, loving relationships, prosperity, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Can, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. Now, here's the thing, everybody. I'm having trouble getting my system up and going here, and I'm going to ask for your patience. So I'm going to be fiddling around a little bit with the controls here to try to get this episode up and going. And it's not that Dr. Thompson isn't here. We actually pre-recorded this episode. I just can't see it on my panel. Technical. Okay, so anyway, so what we're going to be talking about today is sound healing and my experience with Dr. Thompson's work. It's really quite amazing. So I'm going to ask for your patience, and there's going to be some dead air time for a few minutes here while I get the system hopefully up and running and appearing here on my screen here. Okay, so I see what we got to do. All right, so I got to do it the backwards way. So for those of you that are live on the call, especially if you're calling in, I'd be curious to see whether or not any of you have ever experienced any of Dr. Thompson's work. For example, he has a lot of CDs that are available on Amazon, brainwave entrainment CDs. I call them my brain music or my brain balancing music. For those of you that have read my book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach, you know that I feature Dr. Thompson in my book, especially under the chapter that's called Balance Your Brain. I believe that's chapter 6, and also under the sleep chapter as well. And the reason I find his work very important is that there is all these different ways that we can actually balance the nervous system and get our body back into healing mode versus what I call stress mode. And I'll be doing a webinar a little later today on learnitlive.com. And you can find me there, by the way, learnitlive.com/Karen Can. And I'm going to be doing a free webinar today at 1:30 Eastern. It will be recorded for those of you that can't make it, about, kind of like the main ways of boosting your healing naturally. Now, one of the things I talk about in my book is Dr. Thompson's work and balancing the brain. Now, there are many different ways of balancing the brain. I have my favorite ways, and there's all these different ways. And Dr. Thompson's one of the ways, his music is one of the ways that I talk about in the book. Why? Because how wonderful is it to be able to put on a CD, a specially designed brainwave entrainment CD on your home stereo or in your headphones, and then help have that vibration going for that whole time that you're playing the CD to help balance your brain and your nervous system. And his technology is actually quite different from other people's technologies. And when I recorded this interview with Dr. Thompson, he was actually, very humble about the whole thing. But the way in which he actually designs this brainwave entrainment is so different from a lot of the other companies out there. And he'll explain in great technical detail exactly, what the technology is that he uses in his CDs and his music to actually help your nervous system get back into balance and why that's important. So, it is it's really, really interesting. And I don't know if anybody on the call has ever heard me share this before. I've done it in some classes and that kind of thing. But I met Dr. Thompson when I was healing from my fibromyalgia. I actually went to his seminar in California with a whole bunch of other healthcare practitioners and wellness people. And at the time, I was recovering from fibromyalgia, still having, you know, some major problems with pain and fatigue, but well enough that I could, you know, go back to skating and be able to, you know, compete even, although it was a real push for me to compete. But, you know, being an achiever, I always like to compete. So anyway, so I met him there, and that's when I learned about this great technology. Ooh, good news. Okay, we have it up. So we're going to start all over again. So thanks for your patience, and we'll be on our way. Welcome to the Dr. Karen Can Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Can, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And today I'll be interviewing Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, a worldwide expert in the field of acoustic pacing frequencies, who have been experimenting with sound scientifically since 1980. A consummate musician and composer in his own right, he has established a method for using modulated sound pulses for changing states of consciousness for optimal mind-body healing. And what's really cool about this is that I've been, a student, so to speak, of Dr. Jeff for many years now and very, very interested in his work because I was going through quite a terrible illness at the time, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and I was really looking for something natural to help my body heal. The medications hadn't worked. They were giving me side effects. I didn't trust them. And I was looking for natural methods, and I didn't really know a lot about sound therapy, and I, you know, knew a little bit about crystal bowls. I knew a little bit about, you know, tuning forks, not much. And I was like, well, how is this going to work? So I actually went to Dr. Thompson and did a weekend workshop learning about how he combines these frequencies and learned how he can actually talk to our nervous systems and talk to our body systems and cells to help them self-heal. So I'm really excited to have him on the show today. So we'll be discussing a bunch of different things, including how Dr. Thompson discovered the brain as a universal mastermind of the body. So without further ado, Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's a joy to be here.
Thank you, thank you. Well, I know you are super, super busy, so I really appreciate you being on the show. I know you see lots of different patients and clients that come in your office with a lot of fairly serious illnesses. I know when I was there, there was a young man who was going through a lot, and I think his both parents were there as well.
Yeah.
And I actually have, for those of you listening in, I actually have one of Dr. Jeff's sound table. It's a patented table. In my office, I actually do acupuncture on the table, and my patients absolutely love it. They get into very, very deep states of relaxation, and a lot of them find it fun, especially the younger kids. They think it's like Disney World, you know, with the vibration and, you know, the light glasses and the energy flowing. They absolutely love it. So, so why don't we start with how does someone who has a degree in music then get into chiropractic care, then get into sound healing?
Yeah, the ultimate question, I know. I thought I was supposed to be an artist and a musician. I actually went to art school, so I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree.
Mm.
I hid that diploma for a long time. I figured if I'm a doctor, I should really have pre-med or something up there, you know. But after a while, I realized, you know what? I have a diploma for my right brain and one for my left brain, so I stuck it back up on the wall.
Oh, that's great.
And when I was going to chiropractic school, I just, as a right-brained kind of artistic musician type, I realized the only way I could memorize all of the unbelievable stuff you have to memorize about anatomy and physiology and was to illustrate it. And the more perfectly I illustrated the anatomy of the body, the better I learned it. And then fellow students started seeing those drawings and wanting to copy them because they were good study guides. So then pretty soon I started publishing them. So I put myself through school as a medical illustrator.
Wow.
The only buck I ever made as an artist.
That's great.
But, yeah, you know how it all kind of flows together at some point. So, but when I got into practice, and that was in 1980, and I was starting to make, you know, some money for the first time in my life, real money. I took my first bank loan out and bought myself a recording studio with tape recorders and mixing boards and a cutting-edge brand-new digital synthesizer that was out at that time. And in order to make an album, something I always wanted to do, I figured I'll sit on those albums and give them away for birthday presents and Christmas presents from now till doomsday if I have to. But at least I did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I did in that little recording studio was, my wife at the time had a low back problem, so I popped my portable table open, which is in that room, which is where I used to do it. So now I'm surrounded by all this sound equipment with a table in front of me, and the doctor part kicks in. And the next thing I was experimenting with was to see if I could make a chiropractic adjustment using tuned sound frequencies based on the theory that the fifth lumbar vertebra is a different shape, density, and mass for each person. And I should be able to find the fundamental frequency for that physical mass and resonate it like a wine glass.
Mm.
And setting that experiment up and seeing it work was a life changer. And everything else kind of flowed from there. And I had a big holistic health center where we were doing, every kind of holistic health approach we could put under one roof. That was our brand. And so it was in that really nice atmosphere that I could bring what I was doing with sound into the office and start working with patients. I worked really incredibly well with cranial work because 24 cranial bones, you could target a specific single bone and have it resonate. And when it's resonating, it's floating in a state of resonant motion. And the bones around it are not being affected. You know, if you're an opera singer and you sing the right note to make this wine glass vibrate, you found the fundamental frequency for that glass in that particular shape, dimension, and density, and atomic structure. And any other wine glass in the room is going to be tuned to a slightly different frequency. Same thing with the vertebra. Same thing with all materials in the universe, you know. So that would mean every different part of your body is tuned to specific frequencies. Sometimes it's not exactly as simple as that because the body is a complex mechanism, but still, it worked for making chiropractic adjustments with sound and cranial adjustments with sound. And as the years went by, those experiments went into seeing if we could affect organ function. We had a blood lab there so we could test for liver enzymes and cholesterol and things like that and see blood values change.
Wow.
Then there was a point where there was kind of the big eureka, the big holistic idea. The big holistic idea is that there is something inside of my body that knows how to grow my body out of two cells and differentiate the tissues and make them all run on automatic without me thinking about it. And that kind of organic biological intelligence that resides somewhere in me that knows how to do this, it's functioning all the time, every day, every second of the day. Right now, it's pumping my heart and making my lungs work and all my biochemistry work and chi energy and my meridians flow. And it's not a visitor from someplace else. It's who I am. It's part of my identity, part of my core identity. And down in there is the internal physician program who has a series of protocols it runs on in order to make it all work. And that part of me knows what's wrong with me and knows what to do about it and is stuck in a position where it can't accomplish its goal and needs some outside help. And from a standpoint of physiology, that part of me can be monitored now through something called heart rate variability, because it's one of its core structures is the autonomic nervous system. So autonomic means automatic functioning. So it's the automatic functioning part of my nervous system that tells all my systems what to do,
mm-hmm.
the master coordinating control system. And it accomplishes it through sending signals out through the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And the sympathetic system has got to do with the fight or flight response, and parasympathetic has to do with relaxation response and kind of a healing response. And it's really how the body can marshal energy from different areas and shuttle them to other areas, either to fight for my life or to heal. And so the big target became imbalances in various systems in my body, organ imbalances, biochemistry imbalances, meridian imbalances, structural imbalances. It's not really their fault. They're only doing what they're told to do from central command. And if central command has an imbalance, it's going to play itself out in all the systems it controls, because if it's imbalanced, it can't possibly be sending a totally correct signal out, which means that no system it controls could have any better function than the highest level of function of who's telling it what to do.
Right.
And so if the central physician program is imbalanced and only able to function to 95% efficiency, no system it controls can be functioning better than that. Anyway, you understand what I'm talking about here. So the new plan of attack was, would it be possible to find a sound frequency that could resonate the central command system and return it to its normal state?
Mm-hmm.
And the question would be, how would you know what frequency to use? How would you test that? How could you find it out? And I had various methods of doing that over the years that I explored that were fairly successful. And about 13, 14 years ago, I came across this medical monitoring system, the heart rate variability system. And the kind I've used is a very sophisticated one called real-time heart rate variability system. And what it's doing is taking normal heart rate data. You know, your heart muscle has these different chambers, and it's got nerves that go to the heart, and the nerve signals come down and what's called depolarize the heart muscle, so it contracts in a sweeping wave through the muscular tissue of the heart. And this electrical depolarization of the heart muscle is what we're picking up from sensors, EKG sensors, that shows the boom, 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 heart trace that you usually see on a medical program. And so heart rate variability is taking that signal, that electrical depolarization signal, what's called the QRST complex, the electrical spikes, and measuring the space between each heartbeat in microseconds, and measuring the force of contraction of each beat, and combining that with a fast Fourier transform, which is kind of a spectral analysis. And all of that is mixed and matched and added together, and what pops out the other end is new screens on your computer to look at new information about what's happening in the heart. And actually what it's doing is looking through the heart into the master control system that tells the heart what to do. And that is the autonomic nervous system.
Mm.
Why? Because when I have a fight or flight response, you know, if there was a tiger that jumped in your room, everybody would be on top of the table and you wouldn't even remember getting there.
Right.
And the first thing that happens at that moment is catching your breath. It's that kind of response. The very first thing that takes place, it's a respiratory cardio event, because the heart and the respiration are hardwired together. They're synchronized up together. And because And what happens in that moment is the sympathetic nervous system turns on at the autonomic nervous system level. And when it turns on, all a cascade of events starts to take place. Pituitary hormones kick the adrenal glands, which kick the heart rate and the respiration. And so that's a perfect window to look through and see the real-time functioning of the autonomic nervous system played out live on your computer screen.
Dr. Jeff, amazing
that human beings can even think and dream up something like this and make it happen. But being able to see the master control system that tells all systems what to do on your computer screen is huge. It has huge value. And to get a real-time version, because all the ones that were on the market when I first started this were snapshot devices, you would take 190 measurements of your heart and respiration and stop, crunch numbers, and pop up a heart rate variability screen for you to see. And what's on the screen is showing you this kind of a jagged line thing that's divided into three zones. One zone is the sympathetic nervous system function, and one zone is the parasympathetic function. And you can kind of see them fluctuating. So let's take that one step further. So now we take a person who comes in off the street who's got some problems, symptoms, and you hook them up to this device, little wrist sensors, and have them lay down on their back. And normally, when a person lays down on their back, the gravity stress is taken off their body because it's stressful to stand upright. Because when I stand up, gravity wants to pull all the blood out of my head and make me faint. So little special receptors in the carotid artery in your neck signal that the pressure's dropping, kicks up the autonomic nervous system into sympathetic nervous system, kicks my adrenal glands, raise my blood pressure by 5 millimeters of mercury. That's normal. The reverse of that, when I lay down, then my respiration and my heart rate and my blood pressure should all start to drop into a relaxation stress reduction mode. Mm-hmm. Baseline is what it's called, where everything reaches its lowest and most relaxed. And that should happen within about 3 minutes if I'm normal. And I can see that on my computer screen. I can see the sympathetic nervous system tone collapsing down until it equalizes with the parasympathetic. Neither one is dominant now. And that's when the clutch pushes in and the system is in a zero stress mode. And so with the patients that I've seen over the last 15 years, you know, thousands of patient visits, every single person I'm measuring, hardly anybody has a normal nervous system anymore.
In other words,
after 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, and in most people, never. The sympathetic just does not move. It's stuck there.
Yeah, that's what I noticed too in the office.
Yeah, it means that people are stuck in this fight-or-flight mode, and why? Why is that? And I'm puzzling, and I'm starting to realize that what I'm seeing is what I believe is a unique 21st century disease,
mm-hmm.
a disease of chronic stress, a disease of stress that never leaves. Because if you think about it, the biological mechanisms we currently have in place were invented, you know, 300,000 years ago or more, probably 1.5 million years ago, when you'd wake up with the sun and you'd grab your spear
right.
and
There's
go
no
hunt
cell
for
phone.
Breakfast, right? And when you see a rabbit or something and you start chasing it, both of your sympathetic nervous systems turn on, the cascade of fight or flight mechanisms take place, and you chase each other around, and it's all going to burn itself out in 2 or 3 minutes. It's a bright straw, fast fire that burns out quickly. And you're either going to get the rabbit or you're not. It's all going to be over in a couple of minutes. A saber-toothed tiger is going to chase you around. It's all going to be over in a couple of minutes. And maybe you get injured. And when you get back, then the parasympathetic is going to take over and marshal energy around in different places to do the healing, and then that's going to push in the clutch when it's done. So we should really be running from this place of homeostasis, where periodically homeostasis breaks apart and goes into sympathetic dominance or parasympathetic dominance for some period of time and then returns to homeostasis. So if you lose homeostasis, you've got a big problem, because the system was not designed to race its engine indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. Burnout.
and if you do, you're going to blow something out.
Yep.
And in Western society, that's your brain or your heart. Stroke, heart attack, biggest killers that happen in Western society, you know?
Right, exactly.
So the innovation that I came up with sound, was once you're laying on your back and I can see the sympathetic nervous system is stuck on and it can't budge and your body can't achieve homeostasis, this stress-free zone, then I can run sound frequencies through this special sound table that I've got with sounding boards that are upholstered that you're laying on top of. So the sounds can come right into your body, and I can precisely control the tuning of those sounds, and I can get accurate to, I can tune between C and C sharp by 100 steps with a digital readout. So it gets accurate. That means that I can start playing through frequencies until I can watch your autonomic nervous system responding positively, like the wine glass.
Mm-hmm.
As I approach the correct frequency for your system, I can see the autonomic nervous system collapsing its stress function until it reaches homeostasis with a very precisely tuned frequency. And then I use that frequency therapeutically in a treatment mode. Burn it on a CD and you start using it at home. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the one aspect of what's going on.
That specialized music that you make for people is called biotuning, is it not?
Biotuning, yes.
Mm-hmm. So people would go actually physically go see you and over a few days' time, because I had it done,
yes.
Be able to then, you would create this series of audio CDs, or I guess now it might be on MP3s, I don't know, but
still kind of do it on CDs, but that day is, those days are numbered, I think.
Right. So how about the generic so-called CDs that you have, which you have so many award-winning CDs on the market? You know, you can get them at your site or on Amazon. You have so many wonderful pieces of music that have this brainwave technology. So what are those? How did you create those to help the average person that isn't necessarily going to get biotuning?
There's actually two questions there. One question I haven't answered yet, which is brainwave entrainment, which is another aspect of biotuning. So let me cover that first. What I first talked about was the use of physical resonance, why the wine glass vibrates, sympathetic resonance. So I can tune frequencies and resonate different parts of your body. In this case, I'm resonating something in the autonomic nervous system. And it may not even be physical. It may not be the wine glass principle at all. It may be a pattern recognition in some deep area of the brain that's recognizing that frequency as a reset button for my biocomputer or something like that. I won't know the answer to that until I can get some research money and get a fancy-schmancy fMRI machine or a squid device so I can start to explore that and find out what's really happening. But be that as it may, I see a clinical response, so I know it's working. I have some fancy-schmancy ideas about why as a physician, but I don't really know. Now, the second aspect is brainwave entrainment, and this is a different concept based on the same fundamental physics principles of why the wine glass vibrates in the first place, and that's based on something called the science of coupled oscillators. In other words, one oscillator causes a second one to sympathetically resonate. You know, I'm the wine glass, and there's an opera singer vibrating their vocal cords, and that causes the wine glass to sympathetically resonate. They form a coupled oscillator pair. Similarly, it's how my bile clocks work in my body. There's a seat in the center of my brain, an area in the hypothalamus called the suprachiasmic nucleus, which is the one which so far is identified as the master bile clock. And it uses various mechanisms, say through the pineal gland, which is sensitive to light dark, to time my bile clock to the world, through timing itself to the pulses of light and dark in the world, and electromagnetic frequency fluctuations, and who knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
But there are pulsed events in the cosmos and in the world and on the planet that my body is timing itself to. And it's such a powerful, strong thing. The body has to have all of its systems synchronized up and dancing together. And then they all dance to the world and the universe. And when that dance is interrupted or becomes slightly out of sync, we have all kinds of symptoms and problems. With brain entrainment, if I create a sound in my environment that is pulsing, and it's pulsing at a brainwave speed, then my brainwaves will want to use that as the drummer to time myself to. So according to the science of coupled oscillators, it's actually pretty cool. Everything in the universe, animate and inanimate, dances to the same drummer, except nobody's beating the drum except everybody by consensus.
Whoa.
Kind of a Zen thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the more out of step you get within your own body cells with the master control clock or your body to the universe, things aren't good if that happens.
Mm, okay.
So by creating sound pulses pulsing at a brainwave speed, I can control your brainwaves, and therefore I can control your state of consciousness. And I think the earliest use of that was shamanic drumming practices, where we're pounding a drum at a certain speed. And when you analyze that, when you take recordings of shaman drumming practices and you scope it and do a spectral analysis of it, you see that the drum beat speed is around 4.5 cycles per second, which is a deep theta brainwave state, a state you normally go into when you're dreaming.
Dreaming.
So that means that by pounding a drum at 4.5 seconds, 4.5 times per second, around a big blazing fire for my ancestors 150,000 years ago, who didn't know what the sun was or the moon was or the stars were, it was all magic. Very quickly, you could take a person from an awake, external awake beta brainwave state of 25 hertz and slow that 25 hertz down to 5 hertz, because the drum is beating at 5 hertz, let's say, and put a person into the dream state without putting them asleep first. Classic definition of a trance. A waking dream, orchestrated through sound. So now we can do that more scientifically with something called binaural beats, where we have two tones that are slightly out of tune from each other. And if they're slightly out of tune from each other within a certain amount, your brain can't tell yet that there's two. They have to be untuned from each other by a certain amount before your brain can perceive that there's two separate tones. And that's called a critical bandwidth. 18% is how much they have to be untuned from each other before you can start to perceive there's two separate tones. So if they're tuned within 18%, you hear one tone with a pulsing beat within it. And so if I have my home stereo system and I've got two speakers set up, and one speaker's got a 100 hertz tone, and the second speaker has 105, then we'll hear this 5-cycle-a-second pulse in the room that's not coming from either speaker. It's an interaction of air molecules colliding together. It's a Mr. Wizard trick. So this kind of a wah-wah modulation in the room that you're hearing, if you tune the two tones correctly, it will be a brainwave speed, and then your brainwaves will start to follow.
Mm-hmm.
This was discovered by a Mount Sinai Hospital researcher named Gerald Oster back in 1973. He published it in Scientific American. And that started this whole science of brain entrainment to roll forward. So here's the idea that he discovered was, first of all, you hook people up to EEG machines, you expose them to this sound pulse, and the brain waves follow. Then if you put it through headphones, something more interesting happens. If I have a 100 hertz tone in the right headphone and 105 in the left, I hear the 5-cycle-a-second wah-wah in the middle of my head, but I know it's not coming from either of these two headphone speakers, because if I shut one off, I just hear a tone out of one ear. So now what's happening is a pure quirk of neurofunctioning. The right hemisphere controls the left ear and vice versa. It forces the hemisphere activity to synchronize across the corpus callosum band that connects them. We get synchronicity of electrical activity of both hemispheres as one. And this idea, and so the brain is manufacturing the pulse it's hearing out of thin air.
It's brain balancing.
What?
Woo-hoo. Brain balancing.
Yeah, it's balancing the hemispheres for the first time. And so this idea of synchronicity of the hemispheres is, you know, it's an uncommon event. It's the eureka moment. It's the moment a problem gets solved. It's the moment of orgasm. It's the moment of personal epiphany. It's all the cool stuff that everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
The cool experience where stuff happens. And now we have a technological way using sound to pick the lock of that program and make it happen.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
We can dial it up at will and increase our ability to be creative and problem solve and eureka.
Well, Dr. Jeff, our time's running low. I want to make sure people can find you. So what do you want to tell everybody what your website is and how they can connect with you?
Yeah, the website is neuroacoustic.com. That's N-E-U-R-O, as in brain, acoustic, A-C-O-U-S-T-I-C. You can also, I think, at jeffthompson.com, you'll get me there, too.
Oh, okay. Great. And we have those links actually right on the radio show.
J-E-F-F-T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. So, you know, extrapolating over thousands of patients over the years is how I came up with bell curve studies to show what are generic soundtracks, how they could function best. And that's the soundtracks I've got on the market.
Ah, okay. Okay. And there's a lot of other companies that have, you know, brainwave entrainment kind of technology, and some of them have kind of, you can actually hear the beats, which is personally kind of annoying. But with yours, I really enjoy, because first of all, you're a musician, so, and I'm a musician, and I really appreciate the music. And second of all, there's a lot of nature sounds, and it's three-dimensional, and that makes it, like, very real to me, and I really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, three-dimensional sound, and particularly if it's slowed down, it causes another relaxation response at a subconscious level. So I call that primordial sound. So those are all kind of mixed and matched together in the soundtracks. And if you go to the website, you go to the sound store, and you go to the CD section, you can see the covers. You can see all the CDs. You can click on them and listen to them.
Yes, that's a great point. Thanks for remembering that. I remember I bought one of your CDs with a whole bunch of different space sounds of the different planets. And, you know, the funny thing is I was doing dishes or I don't know what I was doing or sitting there and I decided just to play them all one by one. And, you know, they were all kind of cool. And then suddenly I realized that the Earth CD had played. Oops, sorry for the beeping here. The Earth CD had played and I had fallen asleep.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, wow, I must really resonate with the Earth.
Yeah. When I was composing my first sleep CD, that thing was the Delta Sleep System. That's one of the best-selling CDs I've ever done was that sleep CD. But
and I recommend it all the time.
It has to be a certain type of music that would put you to sleep anyway, and I've got these really low delta brain frequencies in it to knock you out. And, you know, and after spending, you know, 100 hours doing all this stuff with headphones on, I have to listen to it critically as a sound engineer to make sure it's flawless, right?
Right.
You have any idea how hard it is to get through the whole soundtrack? I mean, I'm falling off my chair. And afterwards I realized, you know what, this is a real test as a creative musician, as a composer. It's a test because if I'm successful with the soundtrack, nobody will ever hear my work.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh, that's
so great. I had to release that, you know.
Right, right. No, your music is absolutely fabulous. I love the, you know, that you actually went out, you know, in nature and recorded the dolphins and the birds and the wind. And
I have these psychoacoustic 3D microphones. They're very sophisticated, and they fit on any pair of glasses so that they're in the ear positions. They have to be separated by a head in order to work properly. So I take these cool trips to all these amazing places. You know, I went to Waimea Canyon and Hawaii and spent 2 weeks hiking way out in the middle of nowhere to take these recordings with a very sophisticated kind of digital recorder, professional recorder. And when I get to some spot that sounds good, then I just have to stand there. And I have to stand there and meditate and listen to it, because even if I breathe hard, those microphones will pick it up.
Oh, right, right.
So I'm in this meditation space listening to my environment. And then I get to go back, and now I have all these incredible recordings I can stick into my soundtracks, and all of it is tax deductible, and it's not a lie. It's for real.
Really? Yeah, no, that is true.
I'm going, oh.
Well, I know we're over time, and I think people are going to be coming back and listening to the recording, and so we can actually hear everything. But I did want to, if you're willing to answer this question, it was one of the most fascinating things you told us in class, and it was that the space sounds, that if you actually sped them up, you know, several octaves, then it sounded like, you know, dolphin sounds, and then if you sped that up, it sounded like crickets chirping.
Oh, no, that was not the space sounds. That was...
What was that?
If you take people speaking, recordings of people talking, and you speed those up by 3 octaves, it sounds like birds.
Okay, that's
speed it up by 8 octaves, it sounds like crickets, and 16 octaves sounds like dolphin chirps. And then if you take cricket sounds and slow them down, they sound like birds, and birds slow down sound like dolphins, and dolphins slow down sound like people singing. And all of that, all of those sounds, sound like the space sounds. So space sounds from Miranda sound like electric wind with a breathy human choir of women singing.
Right.
And Io, the smallest moon of Jupiter, sounds like dolphins and crickets. And I mean, really, it's a mind blower.
Mm-hmm.
Monks
like
chanting,
we are all
Tibetan bowls, and dolphins and whales and crickets and voices singing is what these space sounds sound like. It's haunting. It's amazing. It's weird. And it does something to your unconscious recognition. Way down deep, you're realizing, God, this sounds familiar, but it couldn't because it's from outer space.
Right, exactly. No, those are some of my favorites, is the ones with the NASA recordings on them. Very, very enjoyable. Well, Dr. Thompson, Dr. Jeff, we are way over time, actually.
Yeah, I know. I'm
sorry. Really appreciate you, coming on the show. I recommend your the products that you have, specifically the what I call brain balancing, brainwave entrainment CDs that you have available both on your site, and you can listen to each of them on your website, as well as you can buy them on Amazon and different other sellers.
Yes.
Very, very popular.
And by the way, I am, as we speak, at my computer buying your book.
Oh, Dr. you're too funny.
So I'm recommending backwards that everybody buy this book. I mean, as I said, stress is the 21st century disease, and if you've got a book about stress, you need to read it. So.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jeff. Give my love to Betty Jane.
Yes.
She's absolutely terrific, your assistant.
So good talking with you again.
Yeah, same here. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. Bye for now.